From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Alyssa Block.
And I'm Michelle Norris. In Houston, federal prosecutors have presented their closing argument in the trial of former Enron executives Kenneth Lay and Jeffrey Skilling. Both men face decades in prison if convicted on charges of conspiracy and fraud. Prosecutors started off this morning by accusing the defendants of lying over and over and over again to investors and employees. NPR's Wade Goodwin is at the federal courthouse in Houston. He joins us now. Wade, after more than 3 months, this trial is drawing to a close. What's it like there today?
Well, the courthouse was packed with people today. Journalists are here from around the world, and there are more former Enron employees and regular Houston citizens than I've seen during the entire trial. A Dutch reporter came up to me during the lunch break, and he was a little put out that nobody seemed to be able to accurately tell him how many years in prison Lay and Skilling were going to get if they were found guilty. If you want to see a comedy act, you should have seen me trying to explain the federal sentencing guidelines to a Dutch newspaper reporter. But you could see just how intense the interest is by the fact that you couldn't find a seat in the main courtroom or the auxiliary courtroom where reporters and spectators watch on closed-circuit TV. And if you eavesdropped on the spectators, you realize pretty quickly that Mr. Skilling and Mr. Lay do not have a lot of well-wishers dropping by. 4.5 years later, there's an edge of bitterness that hasn't diminished.
And the prosecution went first with its closing arguments. Who made the case for the government?
Assistant U.S. Attorney Catherine Remmler. It's been interesting to see how the Enron task force has divided up this prosecution. After watching Assistant U.S. Attorney Sean Berkowitz conduct what I thought was an extremely accomplished cross-examination of Jeff Skilling, I thought the government was making a big mistake by not having Berkowitz also cross-examine Ken Lay. But then Assistant U.S. Attorney John Houston proved himself every bit as capable as Berkowitz when he was Houston's turn to question Lay. And today, neither Berkowitz nor Houston were center stage, but Catherine Remmler. I was a little surprised until the Houston Chronicle reporter reminded me that there are 8 women on the jury, and I suspect this is a fact that did not escape the attention of the prosecutors. This is a group of 40-something federal prosecutors who have a lot of confidence in themselves individually and as a team. And I think the strategy communicates to the jury a subliminal message about the government's case, that the quality of their evidence is so strong that their case isn't dependent on the performance of 1 or 2 star prosecutors.
And you note performance. There's often a bit of theatrics in those closing arguments. What has the government been focusing on exactly during their argument today?
Remmler focused on the testimony of the government's witnesses, not surprisingly, because they're the heart of its case. In a 3-month trial, the impact of the testimony of somebody like Ben Glisson, for example, he's the former Enron treasurer, he gave what was potentially very damaging testimony against Lay and Skilling. The impact can get lost simply because there's been so much testimony subsequent. So Remmler's been taking the jury through the high points of their witnesses' testimony and then pointing out to the jury the other testimony and evidence that corroborate that testimony, connecting the dots, bolstering the government's witnesses' credibility while attacking Lay and Skilling as bald-faced liars. And Remmler's theme was that Ken Lay and Jeff Skilling misled their investors, they misled their employees, and they misled their board of directors.
Lay and Skilling's names have been connected by an ampersand throughout the proceedings, but the prosecution, it seems here at the end, is focusing a little bit more on Ken Lay than Jeff Skilling. Is that true, Wade?
Yeah, I agree. I suspect that it's an indication that the prosecution feels more confident in their case against Skilling than they do about their case against Lay. Remmler started with Skilling, but I'd estimate that fully 2/3 of the government's closing argument so far has been given over to a review of their case against Lay, contrasting the optimistic statements that Lay made to employees and investors about Enron's bright future, to the reality of what he'd been told by his own executives about the company's increasingly dire condition. And Remmler punctuates her points by slamming her hand on the lecture and saying, "That was a lie. That's fraud, ladies and gentlemen."
And just quickly, Wade, when does the defense get their turn?
Tomorrow morning. Prosecutors wrap up the first part of their closing arguments this afternoon. They have 6 hours. The defense begins tomorrow morning. They've got 6 hours to divide between Skilling and Lay, and then we'll have, I think, a prosecution on Wednesday morning.
Thank you, Wade.
Thank you.
That's NPR's Wade Goodwin at the Enron trial in Houston. You can read his profiles of Kenneth Lay, Jeffrey Skilling, and other players at our website, npr.org.